Our present conference is on Jesus Christ, our way. As we have seen, Father Gerald's spirituality identifies four ways of looking at Christ. As the Lamb of God, as the precious blood, as the bridegroom, and finally, as the way. We've seen that to look upon Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, Christ is our model of complete meekness and humility. I might just mention in passing that already in the Old Testament, and then an emphasis in the New, it is not a sheep that was to be offered in the Passover. It was a young lamb. The extreme, the ultimate of meekness and humility. As the precious blood, Christ is our model of total sacrifice. Not even to the shedding of our blood. Drop the even. With the shedding of our blood, physically, if it is God's will, spiritually, as is always God's will. As a bridegroom, he saw that Christ is our model of supernatural, fruitful love. The stress in looking upon Christ as our bridegroom being, on our cooperating with him in generating souls for heaven. In the present conference, we wish to see how Jesus Christ is the way. As we've been doing, we will look at our subject, a vast one, under the following perspectives. First, Christ is the way, as the one who teaches us what we are to believe. Second is the way, being the one who teaches us why we are to believe. And third, Christ is the way as the one who teaches us how we are to put into practice what we believe. As you see, the focus of the present conference on Christ the way assumes the second two titles that Christ used of himself when he said, I am the way, being the truth and the life. What are we to believe? First of all, we are to believe, where the verb believing means accepting with the intellect, not because we comprehend, but simply because Christ, who is God, has revealed what on His Word we are to believe. There is more here than meets the eye. What are we to believe? We are to believe everything that Jesus, who is God, become man, revealed and told us to believe. That is why He called Himself, and the Church calls Him, the light of the world. We have no option. If we are to be faithful followers of Christ, we must accept on faith, like children, everything that Christ tells us is true. Not because we fathom or grasp or penetrate, but simply because He said so. In other words, this everything means we dare not choose or pick. It wasn't too many years after my own ordination, teaching theology in southern Indiana, a seminary professor from Virginia happened to be an Episcopalian, came to see me. We talked. I found out that he had been an agnostic. Then, as he said, discovered Jesus Christ, became a believer. So I asked him, having been converted from agnosticism to Christianity, why didn't you become a Catholic? I'll never forget the answer he gave. Well, he said, it's like this. I'm quite choosy in what I believe. It must be 30 years ago since he told me that. I've never forgotten. We may not be choosy in what we believe. We're still on number one. We are to believe everything that Christ revealed as taught by the Church He founded, and as explained and commanded by those on whom we founded the Church, under Peter and his successors, the bishops of Rome. That's it. Now we talk about Jesus Christ as the way, or as our way. Here we are talking about Christ revealing His mind and will to the human race. But His mind and will of Christ was not only revealed once and for all in Palestine. The same Christ who revealed Himself as the way instituted the Church, built that Church on Peter, and His way today is the way His Church, founded on Peter, tells us. What are we to believe? What Christ, speaking through His vicar, the Bishop of Rome, tells us to believe. At this point, we could start the whole series of conferences all over again. Because the founder of the society to which I belong, the Society of Jesus, instituted a religious order that in many ways would have extraordinary freedom not be subject to so many rules, norms, and regulations that had been customary for centuries in monastic living before St. Ignatius Loyola. The followers of Ignatius are not living a monastic life. But there is one truth that Ignatius bequeathed to his sons, which I share with you. It is unquestioning. Indeed, Ignatius coined the word blind obedience to the hierarchical church under the Bishop of Rome. Before we finish this conference, I'll have occasion to, at least for a moment, bring to the surface the price anyone pays today, and it's a heavy price, who wants to remain absolutely, blindly faithful to the Bishop of Rome. We are saying Christ is our way. So he is. What is that way? Get specific. Be concrete. Be definite. You want me to be definite? Yes. No abstractions. The Vicar of Christ is our way. And what faith that takes to believe that one human being out of now over 900 million members of the Catholic Church, that his mind, when he is teaching the Universal Church, is the mind of Christ. We go on. Jesus Christ is our way in telling us what we are to believe. But he is also our way in telling us why. You see, we believe with the intellect, and we repeat, we believe with the intellect. The most fundamental error of the Protestant Revolution in the 16th century, which has profoundly changed the course of history, the most fundamental error was the claim that we do not believe with the mind, but with the will. When we say we believe with the mind or the intellect, we mean that our minds, if we believe, insofar as we believe, conform internally, accept subjectively what God in the person of Christ has revealed outside of our minds, objectively. And we have the truth within our minds, insofar as what we believe inside conforms with what God revealed outside of our minds. In order, however, to make this total submission of intellect, I know, to make this complete surrender of our minds to the mind of Christ, we better be powerfully motivated. In other words, we better know why what difference does it make? Whether I believe, how much I believe, how firmly I believe, Christ is our way because he tells us why. First, he tells us we are to believe because only those who believe will reach their eternal destiny. And Saint Mark, it would have to be Mark, the disciple of Peter, the first pope, who, when quoting the Savior, this is Mark, tells us that Christ said not only that those who believe will be saved, but, says Mark, and those who do not believe will be damned, will be lost. Living as we are in the most academically sophisticated culture of all human history, nothing like it. When I see the thousands of milling students at Georgetown University between classes, and remind myself that in any given year, over 5 million Americans are on college campuses throughout the country. We are the most educated, the most literate, the most read society since the dawn of the human race. And the more the mind is developed, the more sharpened the reason, the more it absorbs of knowledge, the more difficult it is for that mind to then, as it were, close its eyes and say, I don't comprehend how the Son of God, who is a son of Mary, can be present in the Holy Eucharist. But, like a child, I believe. I've taught too many Jesuits for too many years. And, by the way, not a few of them finishing the doctoral studies before they begin theology when I'd get them in class. I know from experience how hard it is for a sharp intellect, a deeply educated mind, to believe. But that is why we've got to tell ourselves that the same Jesus Christ who told us what to believe also made it perlucidly clear why we better believe. I am not drawing on my fertile imagination when I say I fear for the salvation of many who, having once believed, I don't even say, no, don't believe. I will tell you, I'm not sure. In the vocabulary of Roman Catholicism, a person has as totally lost his faith if he denies even a single truth revealed by Christ. He is as much an unbeliever, not only if he denies, but even doubts. I cannot tell you how often I've been pushed, not to the wall, but into the wall by my students. Are you telling us I may never suspend my judgment? On Christ's divinity? On the real presence? On the indwelling Holy Spirit, on Mary's divine maternity, on the Roman primacy of the Vicar of Christ. That's right. This wire is of more than casual importance. Why are we to believe? First, because otherwise we shall not be saved. Why are we to believe? Because otherwise. There is no prospect of sanctity except on the solid granite of an unquestioning faith. And let no one tell me that the better the mind, the less firm or committed the faith. Not true. If we're going to follow Christ the whole way, which means taking what he taught literally, as did a Benedict and a Francis and an Ignatius and the Teresa of Avila, our faith had better be strong, clear, and uncompromising. Why believe? I would like to say this. Because the only peace on earth, the only taste of genuine happiness in what we know is the valley of tears. I know. Is available to those who believe. I have yet to meet, and I've met many people, intelligent people, sophisticated people. I've yet to meet a single unbeliever who was at peace in his mind, at peace in his heart, or happy. Do I believe? Because the same Christ who told us to believe humanly incomprehensible truths is the one who made sure that on the morning of his birth at Bethlehem and on his first appearance to his disciples after his resurrection, the word peace was not only an option, but an obligation imposed on his followers. Why believe? So we might be at peace in this war-torn world. We go on. Why are we to believe? Because we have a bounden duty to propagate. Let's look at that verb a little more closely. We have a bounden duty to propagate our faith. That means reproduce ourselves in others. Well, there's no other way. Only believers reproduce believers. No one else can. And the deeper and stronger our faith, the more Christ will use us to reproduce ourselves supernaturally. Finally, how are we to practice what we believe? Christ is our way because he tells us what we are to believe. Everything which he revealed. He is our way because he tells us why we are to believe. To be saved and sanctified ourselves. To be at peace in this world of so much sorrow and trial. Why believe? That we might propagate other believers. But how? How are we to put into practice? Is there some simple, memorizable formula given to us by Christ on how we are to, well, put into action the mysteries that we are to believe with our intellects? Let me explain a little further. We commonly and correctly speak of believing with our intellects in the mysteries that Christ revealed that are, as we say, incomprehensible, cannot be fully understood. None of us can fully understand any mystery that Christ revealed. But what is most mysterious about the mysteries of Christ is not their incomprehensibility with a mind. Listen. It is the impossibility of living those mysteries with our wills. The word mystery has much more locked behind it than we might suspect. And the stronger our intellect, the more sharpened and developed, the more demanding will be our faith in submitting our reason to the infinite mind of God. But correspondingly, the stronger our wills, in plain English, the more self-willed we are, the harder it becomes. I know. The harder it becomes to put into practice, to live out what we believe. Because we tell ourselves, and we can even tell God, well, this is impossible. And Christ smiled and says, where did you find that out? Don't you know that what I tell my followers to do is impossible? Well then, Lord, I don't get it. Are you telling me that I'm supposed to do the impossible? Yes. Impossible, says Christ, without me. There are passages in the Scriptures that we become so familiar with, I'm afraid they may have become cliches. And Christ in the Gospel of John tells us, without me you can do nothing. He means every syllable of that sentence. And that is why thanks, Gabriel, for saying it at the Annunciation, told Mary, nothing is impossible with God. What then, in one simple declarative sentence, is Christ our way teaching us as to how we are to live out these humanly impossible demands on our wills? We are to live out these humanly impossible demands on our will with the help that only the same Christ who makes the demands can provide. And though I would talk for the next 40 hours, I could not tell you a more important need in the spiritual life than to be constantly, and that adverb is deliberate, constantly asking Christ, Lord, that I may see. Give me light for my mind. Lord, give me strength for my will. What is a one-word answer for the question how? A one-word answer is imperative. Pray. You're in constant need of light and especially of strength. So we as constantly beg, Lord Jesus, help me. Jesus, our way to heaven, our way to sanctity. Teach us so we may see clearly what we are to believe. Enlighten us on why. But especially, dear Savior, give us the strength we simply don't have to remain faithful to you as we go on our way to you. You are indeed our way. You are also our destiny. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.